Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a bounce-heavy jungle breakbeat drop with a DJ-friendly structure. We're not just making a loop that sounds hard, we're making something that feels like a record. That means the groove has to bounce, the bass has to answer the drums, and the arrangement has to make sense when a DJ actually mixes it into a set. In drum and bass, that's the real test. If the energy is there but the phrasing is messy, the tune falls apart in the mix. If the structure is clean but the groove is flat, it won't move the room, so we need both. Set your project to 174 BPM and keep it in 4/4. Right away, create locators for a proper DJ-friendly layout. Think 16 bars for the intro, 32 bars for the main drop, 8 bars for a switch-up, 16 bars for a second drop variation, and 16 bars for the outro. Those phrase lengths matter. They give the track that readable, mixable flow that lets DJs count it, cue it, and blend it without fighting the arrangement. Organize your tracks early. Keep separate lanes for breaks, drum layers or tops, bass, and effects or atmospheres. Color code them, name them clearly, and if you like, set up your usual return or utility chains now so you can move fast later. In advanced DNB work, speed matters because tiny decisions add up to the overall feel. Now let's get the core break in place. Choose a break that has enough transient detail to chop, ideally something amen style or at least something with strong kick and snare information. If the source is too flat, it won't bounce. If it's already overcompressed, it won't respond well to editing. You want a break that can breathe. Turn warp on, and for most drum breaks, beats mode is usually the best starting point. Complex Pro can work if the source is more musical or stretched, but for punchy drum material, beats usually keeps the transients sharper. Manually place warp markers so the snare and kick accents land properly. This is one of those places where clip level work can save you a lot of time. A small warp marker nudge or gain adjustment often does more for groove than stacking extra plugins. Now make the break feel alive, not copied and pasted. You can slice it to a new MIDI track if you want full control, or keep it as audio and duplicate the clip for more organic editing. The important thing is to preserve the main identity of the break while introducing tiny changes that create motion. A bounce jungle break is all about microphrasing, so try this kind of logic. Keep the first bar relatively open, take out a few hat hits in the second bar to create a pocket, add a ghost snare or rim hit just before the main snare in the third bar, and then throw in a short fill or reversed fragment at the end of the fourth bar. That kind of movement makes the break lean forward instead of just looping. Use velocities and timing as your main tools. Ghost notes can live around 20 to 55 velocity, while your main snares can sit much higher, around 90 to 127. If the groove feels too stiff, try a little swing in the groove pool, but don't overdo it. Around 55 to 58% swing is enough to start testing the feel, though in jungle and rollers the best bounce often comes from small timing nudges, selective muting, and velocity variation rather than heavy swing alone. You can also nudge specific slices by 5 to 15 milliseconds. That's tiny, but in drum and bass tiny changes can completely change the way the rhythm leans. Next, shape the break with a processing chain. Start with drum bus for a bit of drive and transient control. Keep it tasteful. You might use around 5 to 15% drive, a little crunch if needed, and just enough transient emphasis to wake up a soft loop. Be careful with boom on the full break if your sub is handling the low end. After that, add saturator with soft clip-on. A few dB of drive can add nice color and density, but always compensate the output so you're not tricked by extra loudness. Then use EQ8 to clean the mud. Often, a gentle high pass only if needed, a small cut somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz if the break feels boxy, and a controlled notch or shelf in the 7 to 10 Hz area if the hats get harsh is all you need. If the break still needs more punch, create a parallel impact chain. Keep one chain dry and clean, and make another chain with compression and distortion underneath it. Compress the parallel chain a bit faster, saturate it, and blend it quietly. The goal is not to flatten the break into a brick. The goal is to keep the dry transient core intact while adding weight and attitude underneath. Here's a very useful mindset for advanced DNB. Think of the break and bass as one groove engine. If they sound good separately but weak together, the fix is usually timing or spectrum, not more layers. That's a big one. Don't immediately reach for another sound. First, solve the relationship between the parts. Once the break has a stable identity, start adding phrasing detail. Maybe the first phrase is more open, then the second phrase gets a little denser, then a fill or a mute creates a new shape at the end of the fourth bar. You can create two versions of the same break too, one cleaner and more open, and another dirtier and more clipped. Use the cleaner one for the first phrase, then bring in the darker version later, so the track feels like it's evolving without changing its core idea. A great advanced trick is to resample the edited break after you've processed it and arranged it. Bounce 8 bars of your groove, then slice that bounced audio into a new track. That gives you a more record-like feel, and it often makes it easier to add clip fades, reverse hits, and little surprise edits without chasing live playback all the time. Now let's build the bass, because in this style the bass is not just low end, it's a conversation with the drums. Build 2 layers at minimum, a mono sub and a mid bass layer. For the sub, use something simple like operator or wave eatable with a sine wave. Keep it mono, keep it clean, keep it short and controlled. The sub should support the groove, not smear through it. Depending on the key, your fundamentals might sit somewhere around 40 to 55 Hz, but the exact note choice matters more than the number. For the mid bass, use something with character, like wave-eatable, operator, or analog. Shape a reese, growl, or dark pulse. Add filter movement with auto-filter, maybe a bit of facer flanger if you want texture, and use saturator or roar if you want more harmonic edge. Keep the width under control. The low end stays mono, and only the mid layer gets to spread a little. Phrase the bass like a conversation. One bar can beat a short stab or glide, the next bar can leave space or trail off, then another bar can answer more densely, and the next bar can build into a fill. That call and response approach works especially well in DNB because the drums are already busy. If the bass constantly talks over the break, the mix gets tired. If it answers with intent, the whole groove feels designed. Now lock the drums and bass together. Put a compressor on the bass group and sidechain it from the kick or from a dedicated ghost trigger if the break's low end isn't stable enough for consistent pumping. Start conservatively. A quick attack, a moderate release, and only a few dB of gain reduction is often enough. You want movement, not obvious pumping across the whole track. If your kick lives inside the break, use automation and clip gain thinking instead of overcompressing everything. In other words, shape the bass around the kick hits rather than smashing the whole arrangement. Also, check mono regularly. Keep the sub fully centered with utility, and let only the upper bass carry width. That's how you keep the drop big without turning it into low-end fog. A very common issue in this style is low-mid buildup. If the break and bass both feel huge on their own, but the drop loses power together, the problem is often in the 180 to 350 Hz range. Instead of boosting the whole mix, try cutting one source there by a couple of dB. That often creates more perceived impact than adding more volume anywhere. Now let's make the arrangement DJ-friendly. The intro should be functional. Start with atmospheres, filtered break fragments, or top loop. Keep the sub out at first. Use auto filter to high pass the intro elements around 150 to 300 Hz and gradually open things up as you approach the drop. A good intro might start with just atmosphere and a filtered top, then tease the break in bars 9 to 12, then bring in the full drum pickup by bars 13 to 16, while still holding back the bass. That way a DJ has a clean space to blend, but the listener still hears the identity of the tune coming through. The outro needs to work the same way in reverse. Remove the mid-bass first, then thin the drums, then leave a clean exit for the next track. A DJ-friendly outro is not an afterthought. It's part of what makes the tune usable in a set. A strong arrangement also needs one switch up, because loop fatigue kills energy fast. After 32 bars of the main drop, change one rhythmic rule. Remove a kick for a beat, delay a ghost snare, swap a hat pattern, shorten the bass tail, chop the break a little harder for 4 to 8 bars. Any one of those can refresh the groove without destroying the pulse. You can also use a little automation to create tension. Maybe a snare gets a brief echo throw before the next phrase. Maybe a reverse fragment leads into the downbeat. Maybe a subtle frequency shifter or low-pass automation adds tension on the way into the switch-up. Keep it tasteful. In this kind of music, a small detail can make the drop feel much bigger without adding more notes. Remember that the second drop should not just be a copy of the first. Change one major thing. Maybe the bass rhythm shifts. Maybe the break gets darker and more chopped. Maybe the top layer changes texture, or maybe the phrase density increases. Even a small shift makes the arrangement feel developed instead of looped. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't overchop the break until every 16th note is edited. Let the groove breathe. Don't make the bass too wide. Keep the sub mono and the width in the upper layer only. Don't slam the whole break with distortion until the transients disappear. Use parallel grit if you want dirt, and keep it dry core. And don't forget phrase contrast. In drum and bass, the arrangement needs clear 8-bar, 16 bar, and 32 bar movement if you want it to work in the real world. If you want a quick practice target, build a 16 bar jungle drop skeleton. Set the project to 174 BPM, load one break and create a 4 bar loop with at least 3 ghost note variations. Add a mono sign sub with a simple 2 bar call and response pattern. Add one mid-bass layer with filter movement and place it only on offbeats or phrase endings. Process the break with drum bus and saturator while keeping the dry core alive. Then arrange 4 bars of intro tease, 8 bars of main drop, and 4 bars of switch or fill. Check it in mono, check it at low volume, and then bounce it and listen like a DJ cueing it into a mix.